Hello, everyone. Tonight I am speaking in Swift Current, Saskatchewan. So I hope you enjoy what I'm going to talk to you tonight about. I'm talking about the ultimate deception, the truth of gender-affirming care. And I'm going to be talking about what really is true about affirmation therapy and what's happening across the world as countries in Europe and Australia and several of the US states are now backtracking from gender-affirming care. I hope you enjoy this. Have a great night. Anyways, so that's part of my history, and I didn't know what was going on in my own home. Because groomers are very manipulative. They're very controlling. And that doesn't mean I shouldn't have been aware, but I was working outside the home in order, three jobs actually, in order to keep our family afloat. That's not an excuse, because I didn't know. And my children kept it from me because they were told by my husband that he would kill them or he would kill me. So Damaged by the Predators Among Us, I just published in December. But I published two books before that, and I published four books since January. I'm a little bit on a little bit of a roll. This book, this is not part of my talk, actually. I just want to give you some heads up of why I do what I do, and also to say that my area of expertise is birthed out of my own personal experience that forced me, in a sense, because I believe it was a call of God, very much like Vilna. This is my lane that God has called me to, because he's already been preparing me for many years through my own experience, my children's experience, and then education. He sent me on this course of education, and I want to tell you, I have the most amazing husband. I've been married 31 years to this man that has taken in my children, and we have built a life together, and it's been wonderful. So, you know, God can bring beauty from ashes, and he really has done that in my life. So I just want to put that out there, because some people judge, right? The unjudgmental people who say love is love and we're all tolerant are the most judgmental people you will find. And I'm just putting a statement out. That's not all of them, but most of the activists are actually very judgmental. So I've done tons of research. I have colleagues all over the world who have researched the whole area of same-sex attraction and more recently the phenomenon of transgender ideologies. I want to say this to start with. Transgender, the word itself, is not a medical term. The word was transsexual. And the wording and the diagnostic and statistical manual, everything that's in this area of sexuality has been changed over the years, the wording itself. And so we went from gender identity disorder, and then in 2013 it became gender dysphoria. You see, there was a disorder. And because of a very, very progressive, I will call it a progressive element within the American Psychological Association and academia that has become very pro-pedophilia. It's very pro-pedophilia. And so the push is to really change the whole description in many areas of sexuality. In 2013, the Diagnostics and Statistical Manual nearly took out pedophilia as a mental illness in the Diagnostic Manual, 2013. There were still enough psychiatrists and psychologists that said no, but it came close. And what that meant was that pedophilia would then become an orientation. I want to tell you, when the next revised manual comes out, I very much doubt that pedophilia will be in there, because pedophilia is really, really, it's made inroads into academia and for years and years, and you can find many people speaking about it. You know, many psychologists, they're promoting it. They speak very positively about it. And what you will find, and this isn't part of what I really want to talk about either, but I think I need to say this. The rhetoric, and I will say it is rhetoric, and Google Tom O'Connor. He is probably one of the most outspoken people, and he is a psychologist, I think, a clinical psychologist. He is probably one of the most outspoken, and what he says and what many now are joining him in is saying the only reason child abuse is an issue is because the parents don't understand, and then they traumatize the child by making a big deal out of it. Now that's paraphrased, but that's his opinion, and it gets lots of attention. And I'm telling you, I spent 25 years, when they say I don't have any experience, treating adult survivors of chronic childhood sexual abuse, kidnap survivors, rape victims, and I'm telling you, it is not in their heads, and parents aren't out of line to be really, really upset and wondering how they can help their children. They need to help their child. It's not the parent's response to the child who's been abused. It's the pedophile or the abuser's shame, to their shame, for abusing a young child. So what we are seeing now, though, in our school system is a sexualization of children that is desensitizing them to the advances of pedophiles amongst us. And you know, we have lots to say about the Catholic school system, you know, 100 and some years ago, and we don't want that to happen again, and we don't want our children sexually abused in school. There are more children being abused by teachers now than by the Catholic school system way back. I'm talking residential school. We are seeing a proliferation of children being sexually abused. And I don't have all the stats. There's some good people out there that do and are working on statistics on that, but it's scary. It's scary because children are being exposed to things at new levels. And so when you think of sexual abuse, that's a big realm. I'm not talking about all these children being raped, but I'm talking about them being exposed to explicit sexual things daily. Okay, so let's talk about the ultimate deception, which are the dangers of gender-affirming care. And there is a lot of danger here. That's why we need to talk. That's why we need to say there are some things in our heart that we are concerned about for our children. If you are an adult and you want to transition, that's your choice. You can do that. You can live however you want. We're not here to beat someone up. We're just saying, leave our kids alone. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you to the Muslim community who has stepped up. And I'm telling you, I've spent quite a bit of time with Camille El-Sheikh in Ottawa. We've linked arms, and we are moving forward, Christians and Muslims together. I hope we strike some fear into this ideology, because we need to do that. As parents, we need to link together with those who are like-minded. I'm not talking about joining other religions. It's fine, whatever. We need to link arms with those who will protect our children. So this is what often parents hear if they have a child that tells them, comes home and says, I'm a boy, when they're actually biologically a girl, or vice versa. If they take that child to a professional, this is what the professional will often say to them. If they are saying, I don't want to I don't want to affirm this child. They're not a girl. They're a biological boy. I gave birth to this child. And the doctor will say, do you want a live son or a dead daughter? That's often the line that whether it's a medical doctor, a psychologist, psychiatrist, counselor, there's some lines out there that are just repeated. And that strikes fear into the heart of a parent. Can you imagine if you are not going to tell the child what they want to hear, what the child wants to hear, that you then could lose your child to suicide? That's what's spouted out there. And I'll say spouted because it's not true. And one of the things I'll say about this is, is there suicide in the LGBTQ community? Yes. Is it higher than the other parts of society? Yes. But let's look at the roots. Let's go to the roots. What Vilna said, and Vilna and I have been friends for years, and so here you have, I'm a straight woman, she's straight now, I love this woman. And you know, we can't even say those things anymore, because then it's like, oh, you must be, you know. We need to be able to love our friends and just be who we are. We have enough of this, of being labeled. But when I talk about these things and what happens to children and parents have been intimidated and bullied into agreeing with a child's irrational and unrealistic sense of self. And the parent then is made to collude with a child's delusion. Now that maybe sound really strong, but you cannot change your sex, and we need to be speaking truth to our children. Yeah. You can't change your sex. It is biologically impossible. I don't care what you cut off, I don't care what you add on. You can change your secondary sex characteristics. You cannot change your sex. Every male will have to have prostate exams when they're 40. Yeah. I don't care if they look like a female, because biologically you cannot change those things. And medically, we're damaging these young people from proper emergency service responses when they are up on their license the wrong sex. Because how we medically treat men and women in some situations is very different. There are so many things that are wrong on so many different levels with this. Anyways, I'm not going very fast here. Let's keep going. Oh my goodness. So Vilna talked a little bit about this, the prevalence of gender dysphoria. So I talked about the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual in 2013. Here's the statistics of adult males. There were 0.005% to 0.014% of all adult males were gender dysphoric. Females, it was less, 0.002% to 0.003%. This is a minuscule percentage of the population that experienced gender dysphoria and or transsexual identity. Fewer than 1 in 10,000 adult natal males and 1 in 30,000 females experienced gender dysphoria in 2016. We are now in 2023. In 2016, there was a different climate sexually in our, that's just under, that's not that many years ago. I'm not good with math. Natal girls now comprise 50 to 90% of all adult samples of gender dysphoria. Everything switched upside down. It used to be boys. The small percentage was typically boys that were diagnosed with gender identity disorder. Let's look at some, this is pretty telling. Tavistock Clinic. So Tavistock Clinic was the gender clinic pretty much in all of Europe, and the best in the world. And in 2009, there were about 128 children referred to the clinic. By 2018, there were 1,700, And you see how it just starts creeping up. The DSM took gender identity disorder out in 2013, and look at where it starts to go in 2014, and then continuing. In 2021, there were 5,000 referrals. Last May 2023, Tavistock closed its gender clinic. Now they've opened up some smaller clinics to help those individuals that still present with gender dysphoria. They closed their clinic because 35 psychologists and psychiatrists had walked out of the clinic because of what they were being told to do, the medicalization. They left. And that was over from 2019 to 2022. And they left because of improper practices and medicalizing children very, very quickly, which has been happening across the world. So those kind of things are very important to understand. So the trajectory's gone up, but there are no objective tests. You can't test somebody in the laboratory to see if they are gender dysphoric or if you're going to have a true transgender child. And by adulthood, between 61 and 98% of these children will grow out of their gender dysphoria, usually by the time they hit puberty. Usually. So you can't predict, and yet we are medicalizing children as soon as they begin to say, I'm gender dysphoric or I'm transgender. So in 2021, the number of children aged 6 to 17 diagnosed with gender dysphoria increased by 70% in the U.S., 70% in 1 year. We must protect the lambs. These children are being indoctrinated in our education system. Teachers are telling children, teachers are diagnosing. I used to make my blood kind of boil. It took me a long time, you know, a lot of education to be able to say, well, I think this might be a condition. And I still never actually diagnosed. I just treated trauma. Because to me, I learned very early on, and not every psychiatrist or psychologist or therapist might agree with me, that the root of almost every mental illness, you could take them all out of the DSM, because the root is trauma. And if you treat the trauma, whatever the trauma is, abandonment, sexual abuse, you know, death of a parent, somebody sees their parent hanging, all of those things are traumatic experiences, and those things have an effect on the mind of children. And they predispose us to all kinds of different behaviors. We could get rid of all of the diagnosed. And I really believe it if we would deal with the trauma, deal with the roots. Anyways, I could get preachy here. Okay, let me keep going. Comorbidities, I'm only size 7. Okay. Like children with any other form of psychological distress, and we have to name what it is. Gender dysphoria is psychological distress. It doesn't matter if people don't believe you. That's up to them. They don't have to believe you. But the reality is, this is a psychological distress. And we need to help these children with the distress. That's what dysphoria means. They're distressed. And it presents in a context of multiple interacting risks. So these children often have insecure or disorganized attachment strategies. That's parental attachments, attachment figures. They often, I want to say almost 100% have unresolved loss and trauma in their lives. And so do a lot of you. I'm not saying they're no different, but we need to look at what's going on in their lives. Family conflict, loss of family cohesion, divorce is such a huge thing, and remarriage. And then often, whatever, you know, we're asking children to love people. They, you know, we bring people into their lives and they uproot them. And then we expect them to love this other person. And there's so much that we need to fix in our society and we can't do it all. But anyways, exposure to multiple adverse childhood effects. Gender dysphoric children, and this is really important for you to understand, they have multiple pre-existing mental health concerns. Pre-existing means before they decide, for whatever reason, that they are transgender. Because they don't go and say to their parent, I'm gender dysphoric. Yeah. The term is transgender because they're taught to say that. They didn't come up with this stuff. Where did they learn it? In our schools. 48%, this is the most recent research, and as you can see, the research references are on my slides. I'm not talking off the top of my head. I am telling you what is factual. 48% of these children had existing diagnoses on the autism spectrum. That is huge. This is huge on the autism spectrum. And this study said, and if they hadn't yet been diagnosed, they were most likely to be diagnosed because they had symptomatology, but they simply hadn't been diagnosed yet. The people that are orchestrating this stuff are attacking our most vulnerable children, and we are sitting on our butts letting that happen. We have been sitting because we don't understand it. We didn't know it was happening. Now that we're getting a little bit more educated, there's starting to be a reaction. But people wouldn't listen before. Do you know, it took COVID and all of that stuff. And you saw what happened with COVID, and then people began to think, well, maybe there's truth on other things that we're hearing that the media is reporting falsely, and all of a sudden, you people are here. But people like us and my colleagues, who are awesome researchers, have been working on this for year and trying for years and trying to shout it from the rooftops. So every one of you tonight has a responsibility. I'm telling you, this is on our watch. You have a responsibility to protect your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, neighbors. I don't care, because this is criminal. This is criminal. The bullying stuff in the schools, you know, the anti-bullying stuff, everything brought in under anti-bullying, and what is being done? Our children are being bullied into becoming something they are not supposed to be. And they're being bullied into sexual practices and experiences. They have all kinds of histories of harm and suicidal ideation. There's all kinds of pre-existing stuff. I have to keep going. This is really important. I just hope you get this, because my heart is just so for the kids. And if I get angry, I want to tell you, I get angry because I hate to see kids abused. After what happened to my children, and we went to court, by the way, and my son testified for 4 days. And do you know what the judge did? There were other victims. The Crown said, his testimony, you don't need anybody else. His testimony is enough. I went with what the Crown said. I mean, this was 35 years ago. I was oblivious to this stuff, and I was oblivious to our justice system. My son testified in court. He was 13 years old when he had to testify. Can you imagine a young teen having to testify? And what they made him tell the incidences in graphic detail. You would be sick. And the end result? The judge, I will never, you know, when you talk about traumatic experiences, this was a traumatic experience for me. I let my son go to his grade 8 graduation trip. Thank God he has to go that day, and I'm so glad. The judge sat there and said, I totally believe everything your son said. And I went, oh, thank God. But I can't totally disbelieve everything your former husband has spoken. Acquitted. We are fighting injustice at so many levels, folks, and most of us are completely oblivious. I wish we could all stay oblivious. Honestly, I don't want to be in this fight. I don't want to know what happens to people. I've been put here because somebody needs to speak to these issues and somebody needs to care for these precious kids. Okay, that's not in my speech. Okay, I have to go ahead. So here's some, there's some things out here that I'm putting here. The American Journal of Psychiatry, I think it was 2021, and here's some references, recently announced there is no evidence hormones or surgery help gender incongruent patients. This is the American Journal of Psychiatry. You see, these people know things. They know the actual research, not the stuff you read in the paper. They know that this doesn't work, but we're still promoting it. Affirming your child's misguided sense of self runs the risk of neglecting serious pre-existing psychological mental health issues. And we talked about that because that's what exactly. Everything else is glossed over. We only treat the dysphoria. We forget about everything else, but things are changing. I'm going to leave these slides with your team. You can get these. I'm going to go through some stuff here. Puberty suppression with puberty blockers. The symptoms actually increase. The symptoms of dysphoria and the symptoms of emotional dysregulation. Doctors are supposed to be monitoring this carefully. So it gets worse in the family. Let me tell you, families that are going through this with a child is hell on wheels for the parents, trying to navigate this child's emotional up and down and up and down. Desistance, remember, is common. The large majority, about 85%, do not remain gender dysphoric, and yet we keep treating them with drugs. It is one of the greatest medical scandals in all of history. Year after year, on puberty blockers, children reported greater self-harm. If you think that it stops them from having to harm themselves, cutting themselves, or suicidal ideation, putting them on puberty blockers does not do that. They have more behavioral problems, and it actually exacerbates the gender dysphoric experience. But you don't hear that. You won't hear it in your local media. You're not going to hear it in the newspaper. It also does all kinds of things physically. I'm not going to go through all these. I just can't go through them all right now. Women on testosterone have almost four times as many heart attacks. These are trans men. It's estrogen in males, so these are women, these are men who are trying to become women. It increases deep vein clotting and strokes between 3 and 5 times after 8 years on this medication. These individuals are 16 times more likely to have a stroke. The blood clots are increased. Evidence or incidence of breast cancer for transitioning men is 46 times higher. Why are we saying to our children, oh, this is a good thing that you can be a boy if you're a girl? It's a good thing. The medical societies need not just to have their hands slapped, they need tons of lawsuits, and they're coming. Yeah. They're coming, folks. Yeah. They're gonna come. This is atrocious. We are killing our children slowly with an ideology that leads them into the false perceptions that creates all of the medicalization. Normal sexual functioning in the males will be impaired or absolutely absent. And for females, cross-sex hormones induces menopause. They're infertile for life. So here's what is happening now. And Canada keeps pushing all of this gender ideology on our children in our schools while the rest of the world is backtracking. the United Kingdom National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, NICE. They did a CAS review. That's what shut down Tavistock. Any potential benefits of gender-affirming hormones must be weighed against the largely unknown long-term safety profile of these treatments in children, adolescents with gender dysphoria. What they're saying there in all those words is the long-term studies are not looking all that good. We don't have good long-term studies. They haven't been done. We're injecting children. We're injecting children with cross-sex hormones, and we don't have the research to support that this is good for them. Have you heard this before? But this has been going on for a long time, folks. Long before your COVID stuff. The reality is that the child will be a patient for the rest of their life. And guess who's paying right now in Canada, not in the US? Guess who's paying for gender affirming care? All of the medicalization. Any ideas? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We not only are we brutalizing our children, we are sending them to an early death, and that's a fact. In fact, that is a whole issue within the LGBTQ community and them not being taken care of properly and not understanding the medical dangers of homosexual behavior. We don't tell people that. We don't tell our children that. There's so many dangers. And you know what? It is loving and kind to tell the truth. Why don't we give them the truth? And then they can make a decision as adults. Doesn't matter, you know? That's your choice. Don't do it to our kids. These children will never have biological children of their own. I'm just gonna keep going. Let's have some good news. Finland now rejects routine affirmation pathway for minors. They do not do routine gender affirmation, either socially or medically for minors. Because they've decided what they might need, get this, is psychological care to treat the underlying conditions. Yeah. Australia, 2021, our results suggest the need to address a biopsychosocial trauma-informed model of mental health care for children presenting with gender dysphoria. Yeah. So we have these professionals, mostly from academia and from the areas of psychology and psychiatry. Do you know why they don't like me and they want to discredit me? Got any idea now? That have been pushing this on our children, and it's going to end up killing them as adults. It's going to contribute to early death, annihilating a generation. And why is that? Dollars. Big pharma. Money, money, money. And we need to hold these people accountable. That's why I say there's lawsuits coming against these doctors. And it started. Tavistock has over 1,000 lawsuits pending from children, they transitioned, because I'm using them transitioning, becoming adults and detransitioning and suing because no one told these children. No one told them what was going to happen to them. You know, what 13, 14, 15-year-old who has their breasts lopped off thinks about what's going? It's going to be like in the future because they're sold a bill of goods. This is what you need to do. They're told this story. And then they get to be 25 and they realize, I'm really not a man. I'm really not a woman. I don't have my body parts. And talk about depression. And who's there to help them with that then? Not the medical profession, not the psychiatrists and psychologists that help them transition. Oh no, they do not offer care for detransitioners because it goes against the mantra. pretty angry about that. We're killing our kids. France, 2022. We're almost up to 2023. This is what France has said about trans identification. No genetic predisposition has been found. And what you need to know, you know, the born that way rhetoric we've been hearing for 60 years, which is a lie, by the way. It is. There is no born that way. And actually, Dr. Lisa Diamond, who is a lesbian researcher out of California and a part of the American Psychological Association, has the good grace to tell the truth. And she said, she's told the LGBT community to stop using that, because they shouldn't be using that as an advertising, because it's not true. They're not born that way. And so what she says is that sexuality is fluid. Well, I've got a memo for you. Sexuality, and sexual, let's call it what it is, sexual behavior has always been fluid since the beginning of time. You can choose to do whatever you want. It used to be called sin. If I have an affair with, some neighbor, heterosexually or homosexually, it used to be called sin. We're so afraid to say that word because we might offend someone. You can do as an adult whatever you want to do, but don't claim that it's good for you or good for your family or good for your children or good for any part of all of the societal goodness. It's not. It's not healthy. The deconstruction of family is killing us, killing our families, killing our society. Anyways, I'm preaching again. Transition interventions. I can just see what's going to be in the paper. Transition interventions. The great medical caution must be taken in vulnerability and the many undesirable effects of medical interventions. So we're getting to some truth. Then Florida. You've heard all the hoop de la with DeSantis, right? And the new legislation. One of my dearest friends, Dr. Andre Van Mol, testified. And he was one of the chief people that brought evidence on this stuff before their committees, and the legislation got turned around. And of course the activists are outraged. All we're trying to do is protect our children. So social gender transition should not be a treatment option for children or adolescents. That's socially transitioning. That means affirming the child's ideas. You shouldn't do that. Yeah. Parents, don't do it. It's not good for them. But parents have been forced into it under the threat of losing their children if they do not comply. Well, we will not comply. We have to start joining arms and not complying with this. Anyone under 18 should not be prescribed puberty blockers or hormone therapy. Gender reassignment surgery should not be a treatment option for children or adolescents. Yay, yay. Yeah. Then, August 22nd, 2023, Denmark joins the European gender-affirming care backpedalers. No more gender-affirming care for minors. We need to love our kids as they are. We need to affirm who they are, and we need to implant identity within them, not allow teachers to implant an ideology. These are the states. This is my it's not quite my last slide. The states as of September 23 in the U.S. that now protect minors from gender interventions. Look at them. Isn't that good? Amen. Amen. And bless the activists out there. I wish they would come in and listen to truth. We don't hate them. They're adults. They can do what they want. But don't show up at our school saying that this is okay, that this is a good thing, because it's not. It's not helpful. It's harmful. Then I want to speak to this idea of pronouns and secrets. These are the last couple slides. You know, erasing a child's identity, because that's what they're doing in schools now. That's what they tried to bring in. Our government, our federal government, is trying to erase a child's identity, their identity from birth. and keeping it from their parents because they're erasing that and replacing it. But doing that makes it easier for the children to become victims of human trafficking, sextortion, abduction, or kidnapping. Because parents aren't even being notified that their child is identifying as something other. There is this huge level of mistrust now that has come in. Children can no longer, and are told they can't trust their parents. They're told not to listen to their parents because their parents don't really know what they're talking about. It builds this huge wedge in families. It creates this incredible division, and it makes them all the more susceptible for sex trafficking. You know, they're not going to get them by medicalizing them. They get them by sexualizing them. I mean, this is the most horrific thing we could ever imagine. The biggest advocates of a child are their parents, and their parents are being forced out of every area of the child's life. We can't do that anymore, folks. We can't stand for that. And we don't want to be nasty to people. We just want to protect the children. The teachers, so this is really recent, I think about 3 weeks ago in California, and California is so woke, you know, this is incredible. Two teachers sued the school for being forced to lie to parents about their child's identity. Because the child decides, you know, they're going to identify as something else, and the school tells the teachers they cannot tell the parents. The teachers, these brave teachers, hallelujah, sued the school, and the judge ruled in their favor. Yes, harms. He said this policy harms teachers who are compelled to violate the parents' rights by forcing the plaintiffs to conceal information, these teachers, to conceal information they feel is critical to the welfare of their students. And the judge, furthermore, you can read this, the judge furthermore suggested that they bring more parents to this discussion. We need to be suing school boards. Do you know, my school board, bless them, 2018, they actually allowed me to present on some of the dangers. I mean, I've been seeing this for years, and I really wanted, I was still kind of naive, not totally, but, you know, I wanted to talk to the school board, the trustees, adults, and just share some of the research, which wasn't as expansive as it is now, but I wanted to share it. And they allowed me to. I get to share for 10 minutes. You have to submit everything, blah, blah, blah. Next year, I had all kinds of new stuff. I made a delegation to go back. They refused to allow me to present. I'm an expert in this area. I have grandchildren in my writing. So I sued them for not allowing me to present. My case, because COVID hit, was delayed. And in April, it was disallowed. Disallowed. I had to pay them $5,000 in legal fees. Today, I got a bill from my lawyer because I have sent a letter to Sean Hanna, who wrote defamatory things in the Swift Current Online. I'm not putting up with this anymore, folks. No. I will not put up with it. There's too many lives at stake. So I got a bill. He sent two letters, actually, because then there was another defamatory thing in the Yorkton paper. So he sent one to each of those, $1,000. I want to tell you that fighting these battles are not cheap. I have been doing this on my own penny since 2017. I have published books and given a copy of Closing the Floodgate to every conservative MP in 2017. Four of them got back to me. It's not that they don't know. I presented them with the research. You read it, it's all there. Everyone's too scared. Grow some backbone. I didn't say what I... I'm a good Christian girl. Vilna was saying to me a word she said a few times. That's a farmer's word. Anyways, I said, you know, in the last 2 years, I've said that word about 18 times. And that's 18 times more than I've said it in the other 65 years of my life. 67, 60, whatever. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of people getting away with lies. I can love people. So the end result, I want to tell you about my one son, my oldest son. Vilna knows him. I love him to pieces. But he was part of the LGBTQ community for 11 years. I didn't hate him. Then he left. Guess what? All of his friends in the LGBTQ community, and he was very active, in more ways than one. And we have had great open conversations. He's told me things no mother should ever hear. Anyways, but he knew he was attracted to it because, and his story is in my book, Damaged. He writes a chapter. He was attracted to that lifestyle, homosexuality, because that is the only way his father showed him love, and he thought that was love. See, my first husband was a homosexual. And so I put homosexual and pedophile together, and that just drives people nuts. But I want to tell you, and our friend, the young woman last night, my mind. Nadine, she stated this. Totally. That Nambula, man, boy, love within the LGBT community is alive and well. And they kind of put it over here, but let me tell you, they do not reprimand or try and say, oh, you shouldn't do that. Many of them. There's a lot of things that are not good. So I just want to say to you that I walk the walk. And I'm not afraid to talk the talk. I love my kids. I'm so thankful that that boy now is married with four children, to a woman, by the way. And that's how he has chosen to live his life. Vilna has chosen to be celibate. Why can't we do and live our lives according to our own belief and values? And that's what we're demanding now. You will not teach our children your religion. You will not teach them against the parents' views and values. Mm-hmm. And the views and values that you hold in this room are the views and values of the huge majority of Canadians. That's why you need to go home and you need to wake up your neighbors. Thank you for listening. That was a bit of a tirade. Anyways, bless your heart. Love you for coming. I honor you. And I just want to thank you so much for being here.
You've been listening to Truth Talks with Dr. Rann. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can find Ann's books, blog, and sign up for the newsletter by going to restoringthemosaic.ca.